retreat tonight and they're going to minister for us tonight. So looking forward to that. How many believes God is a miracle worker?
Amen.
Besides the preacher just quitting a little bit early on Sunday. I was telling Brother Daniel a little testimony back there. Last fall, I've always wanted to have a maple tree. And we've planted trees sometime over the years. Little things, it seems like I don't have good luck with things like that, I don't know. But anyway, we've had trees die, bushes and stuff. But so anyway, everything has turned out, leaves green and everything's pushed out, and my tree was still standing out there naked, not nothing. So it's been about 2 weeks, my wife's been telling me, two or three now, she's like, give it up. Give it up. I mean, I've been praying over the tree, you know, and so Sunday morning I went out there before everybody else got up out of bed, and I walked out there and I stood there and looked at the tree and I said, Lord, a dead tree, dead wood lived in your presence, brought forth fruit and blossomed overnight. So make this tree live and not be dead, you know. And I come home, that was Sunday morning, and I came in and told my wife and Tim and Catherine when they got up a little later, I told them what I had done, you know. And so I come home from work on Monday night, I went down there and it had buds coming out of it. So, you know, he's still God.
Amen.
Amen. So you just got to believe, you know. For some reason, I wasn't giving up on it, so I kind of played it just a little bit. When I saw that, she was on the phone a Monday night, and I said, she come out, and I said, do you really think my tree's? She said, it's gone, baby. It's gone. I said, you might need to go out there and look at it. Amen. And so they're being even bigger and bigger today. So
amen.
God is so good.
Amen.
Man, let's sing I Love You as Brother Daniel comes to minister. Just let your hearts be opened to his truth tonight. Just ask him for faith to believe. Amen.
Amen.
Sacrifice here that we did and wanted President Trump to come, and you know, maybe he would try to come to it, just be impossible even if he wanted to come to a little place like this. But you know, most celebrities wouldn't want to come to a place like a little gathering like this, but the King of Kings, you know, is willing to come and enter into what we have done for him and be appreciative of it and be thankful for it. And that's just, to me, that's just awesome, you know. We serve a God that's like that. We want to go to St. Matthew chapter 8 verses 5-13. And I want to speak to you on a thought of heart of reconciliation. Heart of reconciliation. St. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5-13. And I know some of you are tired from the labors of today. I'll try not to drag out the service. Just say exactly what the Lord wants me to say. And I remember someone saying, I want to say it, Brother Frank Prater might have been the one I heard said that. He said, a good preacher knows when to get up, speak up, and shut up. That always stuck with me. I was like, there's probably some truth to that. But you know, the biggest thing is we don't want to rush the Holy Spirit, and at the same time, if the Holy Spirit's done, we don't want to keep dragging it on, you know.
Yeah.
We just ask the Lord, he'll just, he'll have his way, and that every person feel edified after the service tonight. Get a portion of the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
Verses 5 through 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there come unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of palsy, grievous tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed.
Amen.
For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to him that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, there shall weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done to thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Let's go to one prayer. Father, we love you. I ask you that you will help me to surrender myself, just being a yielded vessel, Lord. Lord, not trying to pump anything up, Lord, but Lord, just deliver the word the way you give it to me. I pray, Lord, that your anointing and your inspiration would fill their heart with your peace, your love, your encouragement, Lord. Lord, each person may be edified by your spirit tonight and by your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Excuse me. This was a man in a position of authority. And I marvel at the thought that he had enough character about him that he would go and for his servant, that he would go before Jesus for his servant. I mean, imagine all the responsibilities that he must have had, you know, being a centurion and all the responsibilities he had. But he had something in him that his servant was sick and needed a touch from somebody that only Jesus could do. And he would had enough character about him that he went before Jesus, and he had enough character about him to know about authority. And to me, it was just amazing that he would have to be concerned enough to go before Jesus for somebody. And I wonder how concerned we are, you know, whenever we see somebody that's sick or someone that's going through something, that do we get concerned enough that we would go before the Lord and say, Lord, my servant needs you. My brother, my sister, they need you. Lord, would you go before them? You know, I was listening to the prayer lines. I was mowing the yard here today and coming to a prayer line. And I like to mow, enjoy it, you know, and especially when I can listen to a sermon and I'm not worrying about car deals or nothing. I can just let the Lord speak to me. And, you know, I was listening to his prayer lines. And so many times you'll hear in prayer lines, I've noticed throughout the years, that the people that come forth, they're not there for themselves. They're for somebody else.
Right.
He'll say, you're here. You're not here for yourself. You're here for somebody else. You're with some heavy set man that's sitting with you and go through the descriptions. And then he'll say, but there's also, you're going through something else, aren't you? And, you know, those people would leave. First of all, their person that they were concerned about, their needs were met. And then that person's need was met also. And I just think that's just a beautiful attribute of their character. You know, that they're before the Lord. And there was another prayer line. In the part of the prayer line, there was a young man that had gone through, and he said, oh, and his brother Brown's voice, he said something to the effect of, he said, you're in big trouble, young man. And so I started looking, and I was thinking, maybe he'd done something wrong, but he started naming. He said, your wife, your mother's got cancer, got this going this, your dad's got this, your cousin's got this, your brother's got this. Everybody around him was sick, and all of it, during all these things, he said, that's got you really worried, don't it? And he began to, he said, and you're seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, aren't you, young man? And he said, you can hear the young man, yes, man, yes, I am. The boy had all this stuff going on about him, about his family was sick, his mom was sick, his cousin, brother was sick, all these people were sick. And he said, you're in big trouble, aren't you, young man? This man was so bombarded by his family being so sick and beat down. And through every bit of that, he had a hidden thing inside his heart, I really want the Holy Ghost. And he told him, go in the name of the Lord. He said, everyone's going to be well. He said, and you'll receive the Holy Ghost. And I just thought that was just wonderful. It was a display of character. This was a man, this was a boy that had all of the trials going on, but he didn't go up there first and say, Lord, give me the Holy Ghost. He said, Lord, save my family. And to me, that's a heart of reconciliation. You know, that's a hard, that's a display of a character of someone who has been reconciled with the Lord. You know, the prophet will say to you here and there, he's the prophet will say, you are here for them, and but you're dealing with something else. And that was a perfect example of that man, of saying, going through a turmoil of the character of his people, of seeing his people that were struggling.
Right.
Let's go to 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 22. He says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemneth, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemneth not, then we have confidence toward God." It's the love of God inside a man's heart that will compel them to lay their lives down for their brethren. You know, it's not because of head knowledge of thinking, you know what, I should pray for that person because I'm a Christian. Or I should go before this prayer line and think about them because I'm a Christian. That's something that I should do. But it's nothing you're doing from your mind, but it's your heart has been changed. It has been reconciled before the Lord to where you are not thinking about your own needs. You are thinking about the needs of somebody else. And to me, brother and sister, that is a good display of character, of showing a heart of reconciliation. It's whenever you don't have your eyes on your own self, your own worries, your own concerns, your own trials, your own things, but your heart is heavy for your brothers and your sisters. Because a body lives for itself. You know, the natural body, the kidney does not live for itself. Because if it just supplied all, kept all the blood and everything to itself, the whole body would die. But what that kidney does, he supplies the needs of the other parts of the body, and in turn, they will supply his needs also.
Right.
And that's the way it is in natural, and that's the way it is with the spiritual, is we edify one another. We encourage one another. We love one another. We pat each other on the back and say, "Hey, I love you. I appreciate you." You know, a warm handshake, you know, it goes a long way. Cooking a good pie or something like that, something that you're able to do very good. You know, when you do that as a service for the body, you know, you are edifying the body when you do that, because you're doing it by love. You know, there was no pie like a Sister Pansy pie. She could do that, and whenever every bite you took, it wasn't just a pie, but that was a bite of love every time you've done that. There's something about somebody that spends their time cooking, and you can tell when someone flew through something and when someone took their time and really cooked. When they add their seasoning, they'll take a bite and stir it up. Not quite. And just a little bit. Almost. Yeah, so you can tell they took the time, they took the love, the passion, everything they did to make that pot of soup or stew or whatever meal that is. It's a taste of love, you know. And my wife, she makes the best beans I think you'll ever eat in this country. She does it with love when she does it. She takes her time, and she don't just say, "Well, it's good enough." She will sit there and stir that and cook it. She'll add a little seasoning. She'll taste it. And you know, she'll do it over time, and she does it with love. So it's not just about the beans, it's about a love.
Yeah.
And you know, I believe that's the way we as Christians ought to be in everything that we do. We should do it out of love. You know, when we sweep the floor for the church or sweeping the floor for somebody else, whatever we're doing, we're not just doing it just to sweep the floor. We are doing this because I want my brother or my sister to feel edified. I want their home to be clean. I want them to feel healthy. I want them to feel secure. And to me, that's what it is with a Christian, is our whole Christian, everything that we do should be in a part of love, where it's a bite of love. Why? Because we have been reconciled. Because what does the Holy Ghost do? The Holy Ghost will always want you to bring you to life, to perfection. And if we have that same Holy Ghost inside our heart, then we should do the same thing, right? Because we are reconciled with the Holy Ghost. So however the Holy Ghost will act in a matter, we should act that same way. You know, at one time, the disciples had the Holy Ghost on the outside because Jesus could hug them, but he could not put that Holy Ghost on the inside of them. But, you know, he said, "It's expedient for you that I must leave. That way the Comforter can come back, because then the Holy Ghost is not just on the outside, but you can actually get it on the inside." Amen? Because it's one thing to be influenced by something on the outside, but it's another thing to have the life on the inside, and it's living out. Amen?
Amen.
So we serve the Lord by love, and marriage is served by love. Your love for your spouse compels you to serve them. Your love for them compels you to say, "I love you." You just got to send that text message. "Hey, I love you. I miss you today." You look beautiful today. You know, whatever it may be, your love for your mother, your father, your love for your children, your love for your pastor, your love for whoever it may be, it's a love that compels you to do the things that you do. A grandma loves her babies.
That's right.
Papas do too.
That's right.
Amen. There's a love inside me that for that baby boy. There's a love for my children. And my love for them compels me to do the things that I do for them. So if my kids ever need something fixed on their house, I'm not going to go there and try to do just a halfway job. I want to do it very well because I want to do it with love. Why? Because they're my family. And that's the way we want to do with the whole body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So love also, it compels you to forgive. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long. And is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity bondeth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. That endureth all things is something we have to really lean on through charity. You know what? When things are going really, really hard and going through a hard time, you have to really endure sometimes. And to really endure, it takes love.
Amen.
You know, brotherly love, to keep brotherly love around you, sometimes it takes some enduring.
Right.
Sometimes. Because sometimes your brother, your sister, they may not even realize what they're doing, but they can be totally offending you and absolutely hurt your feelings and have no idea about it. And during those times, that's when it takes some enduring. Where you just got to really put the shoulder to the wheel and say, hey, I love that person. They probably don't even realize what they're doing. Even if they do know what they're doing, I love them. And you go before the Lord and say, Lord, help my brother, help my sister. Because remember, the devil will do everything he can to bring schisms inside the body. And
right.
Most of the time when someone's offending you or they're hurting your feelings, they have no idea that they're doing it.
Right.
They're completely oblivious. Because
right.
You know, would you ever want to ask yourself, would you hurt someone's feelings on purpose?
Right.
Especially somebody you know, of course you wouldn't. You would never do that.
Right.
But that devil will try to point that picture. And as a thought I've said for many years, stinky thinking. You try to get that stinky thinking and making you think someone's got something against you. They're doing it on purpose.
Right.
We got to remember to stay with what the Holy Spirit says. Let the Holy Spirit be our influence. Amen. So men and women, they conquer through adversity by love. Parents can work countless hours, whatever it takes. Blisters on your hands, Brother Tony, whatever you got to do to get the job done. Why? Because I love my family.
Right.
I'm going to do what it takes. Many soldiers have died bravely on the battlefield. Why? Because of their love for their family and love for their country. They're motivated by love. Super strength comes through the adrenaline that comes by love. There's many, many stories that you can read and you can hear where a father will go over and a car is flipped over on top of their daughter and their life is just going out immediately, and the man can try to pick up the car, and it's impossible for him to pick up the car. But then he looks down and he sees his baby and says, if I don't pick this car up, my baby's going to die. That man will literally pick that car up and flip it all the way over. How? By the adrenaline of love.
Right.
That's my baby. You know, the adrenaline of love does wonderful things. I was listening to a story today. Well, we've all heard. I don't want to stay on this very long because I've got a long way to go. But just listen today where the prophet talked about how he was needing to go on this plane to go somewhere, and the Lord told him to start walking. And here was that one little woman that had her baby boy that was sick with that disease. And she had enough faith by love to hold a plane down to cause a prophet to come her way. He said, Parson, I've been waiting for you. This woman had been waiting all night long for this man to come through. Why? What was motivating her? Love. Brother and sister, love is our greatest weapon that we have in this life.
Amen.
Amen.
It will conquer everything.
That's right.
Love. Amen.
Amen.
Man's love will compel him to act, and a man's love will compel him to act and feel like a man. But then there's God's love. And God's love will compel a man to act and feel like God does.
Yeah.
About a matter. And a quick example, I talked about that, where Brother Ben talked about with filial love, which is man's love. He said, If a man insults your wife, you want to slap him down for it because you love your wife and he just insulted your wife. But agape love, he can insult your wife and you'll pray for his lost soul. That's where sometimes I pray, Lord, give me some more of that agape love. You know, I don't know. I love my sweetheart, you know. A lot of people can say, I would do this in this circumstance. You don't know what you'll do until you get confronted with it. You just don't know. You know, we have to be real careful. You see, you got kids. If my kid is in that situation, this is what I do. You don't know what you'll do. You might be confronted with it tomorrow. So best thing you can do is take one step at a time and say, Lord, help me serve you the best I can and be edified to the body of Christ. Because you know what? You might be the one on the chalk block tomorrow.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. So all we can do is work with love. If you remember, if we stay with love, love and humble come together, don't we? If you think about it, love and humble. Because if I love Brother Tony, let's say I had my coat and I thought my coat was nicer than Brother Tony's, and I love that brother, if I really love him, I would not want to wear my coat. That's not the reason I wore a coat. I just didn't wear it as hot. But what I'm trying to say is if I really loved that brother and I felt like my coat was nicer than his, I want him to feel like his coat's better because I love him. And that's what humility is. So love and humility really goes together because love, you prefer one another. Amen? You want your other person to feel better, like the big man. So we need love. This is a quick quote from a message of God perfecting his church. It was in 1954. Just a real small quote. He says, now I'm not the master, no sir, but if the master's life is in you, it'll bear an effect just the same. See, just like the master looked upon the sin in Jerusalem and wept over it, and the Holy Spirit is in you, it'll weep right out too over lost ones and sin and things.
Right.
It's the Holy Spirit in the person. So if the Holy Spirit is grieved by the sin of this world, if the Holy Spirit is grieved by the thing that goes on inside you, we should have that same grievance. Because if we say, well, it don't offend me, I can dress this way, I can listen to this, I can watch this, and I don't feel grieved. But if the Holy Spirit is grieved, and you're saying you're not grieved, something's wrong here. Because there's not two Holy Ghosts.
That's right.
And we got to remember, He is a Holy Ghost. He is a Holy Spirit. And so you can grieve the Holy Spirit. So if you can grieve that Holy Spirit, you can also grieve it inside you. And you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, says you're shielded in the day of your redemption. But the prophet showed us, and I'm so glad he taught this to us, because I didn't understand that. And I struggled with it for a long time. But he really brought it out about how you can grieve the Holy Spirit and cause the Holy Spirit to go fly on a branch until you make things right. No, he's not going to leave you. He didn't fly away from you, but he'll go into a branch somewhere until you make that thing right, and that Holy Spirit will come right back to you.
Right.
And I'm here to tell you, friends, this is where the fine line is. So even after you get sealed with the Holy Ghost, you can go through times where you will grieve the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And whenever that Holy Spirit is grieved, you cannot do the things you normally can do until you make that thing right.
Amen.
Pardon me, an example. The prophet had a going through the tax situation where he owed all the tax money. But somebody would give him an offering of a huge amount, and he would not take that offering for himself. He would sign the check, put it in the offering, put it right back in the missions field, and thank the Lord for he did that. They did a full audit on him, and they couldn't find a single thing wrong with him. Notice, I'm showing something else also. There's been many other ministers that they'll put under that spotlight, and they'll find all kinds of things that's done wrong behind the scenes. They did the same thing to this prophet that we recognize as being a prophet. And they said, the thing you did wrong with it is you should pay taxes on that. And it doesn't make any sense. Because they gave him a check. He said, I don't want this check. I'm going to put it in the offering. He signed the back of it, put it in the offering. And they said, you owe taxes on that. Now, does that make sense to you? How would you feel if that was given to you? He said, I don't owe the taxes. I didn't take that money. I put it right back into the offering plate. Well, you know the story of how the tax people were bombarding him, and saying, you owe tax money on this. And he was just, his mind was going insane, you know. Well, they called again, and he was picking you out the door. And they said, and Amina said, Bill, it's the tax people again. He said, tell them I stepped outside. And he went outside and shut the door. Well, did he lie? That's a gray area. His wife called him out and says, Bill, no, that wasn't exactly right. He said, but his mind was so bombarded because they kept calling. Mind you, he had the Holy Ghost. He said, he kept calling. And he said, tell him I stepped outside. Well, he had a prayer meeting coming up that night. I believe it was that same night. He needed to pray for a little girl. I believe it was. And when everybody went to go pray for him, he could not pray for him because he had to make that thing right. And he had to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. And he went back to the tax people and said, hey, this is what happened. I'm so sorry that this. I was just so bombarded. I didn't mean to lie to you. I was just so bombarded. He said, I had this prayer meeting coming up. He said, I said, just tell him I stepped outside. And he reconciled. And whenever he reconciled that with the Lord, catch this, when he reconciled that with the Lord, he went back to the same baby, prayed for the baby, and God healed the baby. Because he reconciled. As many times, brother and sister, our own hindrance to our own prayer is because we need to reconcile something. We need to say, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. I want to make this thing right. So you can grieve the Holy Spirit, but the good thing is you make it right. Ain't that wonderful?
Amen.
That's like me and Hannah. You make one strike, I'm taking the car from it forever. Thank the Lord. She's been wonderful. But could you imagine if I had to put that kind of a thing? If you make one single mistake, it's gone forever. You got a long walk everywhere you go. But thank the Lord, I'd say, well, put it over here and say, we get it reconciled. And then we'll give it back to you. That's something as minor as a car. Okay, the cars are easy. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about fellowship with our Lord. We're talking about the greatest thing that you can ever have, where you can talk lip to ear with the King of Kings. You can talk lip to ear to the very one that created this entire world. And that thing can be put on side for a little while until you make it right. Because God will not allow us to openly walk in fellowship with him if we are going to walk in sin. He will not do it, friends. That's why we've got to walk a consecrated life before him. And thing is, he wants to reconcile with us. He wants to. God's the one that makes the way for reconciliation. Because man can't do it. Man don't look for God. God comes looking for man. God's one that does that. And if we ever step out of that, God will make a way for reconciliation. And I'm so thankful for that. Amen. To have the life of something in you means that you will act out that life. So what would it be if we were to bear out the effects of the life of the Master? If we had the life of the Master inside of us, what kind of effects should there be? To be around somebody, you can be influenced by them, but when you have that life inside you, you know, it's coming from the inside out. And I want to say this, it's one thing to have the influence of Christ from the outside, but it's something totally different when he makes you a new creature. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 through 17 through 20. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to him by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though Christ did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. And I did a quick search on the word reconcile. To be reconciled. What does it mean to be reconciled? If you look at the definition, it says to restore friendly relations between. It means to cause to coexist in harmony, to make or show compatible, to make consistent with one another, especially by allowing for transactions begun, not yet completed. To settle. It means to make someone to accept, to be accepted. Isn't that wonderful? God does all this for us to reconcile us, where we can, with God, put this in your mind. God puts it to where he can restore a friendly relationship between us and God. Amen?
Amen.
God puts it to where we can cause us that we can coexist in harmony with God, or to make us compatible with God. God makes it where we can be consistent with God. God makes it to where we were for allowing the transactions to be completed in us through God.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? God makes it. God's the one that does it. Ain't us. He did it. He's the one that made us reconciled. All we got to do is say, Lord, I accept it. And we walk in it. So the Lord brought reconciliation to man. And man could not even come into God's presence. It's God that did the drawing. It's God that put the provided way for the reconciliation. And man has tried all to make his reconciliation on his own ever since the Garden of Eden. Remember, Cain tried to do the sacrifices of himself, of doing things that he can do. Now, catch what I'm saying. Cain tried to bring his reconciliation with the Lord by doing works, by doing sacrifices and doing these things. But that doesn't make it right. God made the reconciliation. He said, for this to be reconciled, it must be the blood of the Lamb. Not sacrifices. Sacrifices are fine, but that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking for the blood. And that's the way it is with us today, brother, sister. God wants reconciliation with the believer where he can fellowship with us, lift the ear, he can talk to you, and enter into that fellowship, that genuine fellowship. He can say, oh, I'll read all these quotes and that'll do it. That won't do it. I can read the Bible and that'll do it. That won't do it alone. It comes by the shedding of the blood where God will meet the believer under the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Brother and sister, our sins, we are forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. That's where God meets us. Now, God will give us the Word, and you will want the Word. And the Word is the blood. But you guys say, well, what is it that really saves me? From the depths of my heart, I believe that the man sitting over in the gas station, he's a truck driver, and God's dealing with that man's heart, and he said, Lord God, I need you to change me. Lord, I cannot keep running like this. God, I need your help. Would you forgive me, Lord? I want to accept you into my heart. I want to accept you in my life, God. And from a genuine feeling of that man's heart, I believe that man's meeting God at the blood. He's saying, Lord, forgive me. And you know what? That man has to serve God the best he can all the days of his life of serving him. Because you know what? He may not ever understand or see the eagle message of this hour. He may never see that. But you know what? He's got to walk in that light that God gave him. At that time when God meets him in that truck, his sincerity said, Lord, I believe you. I love you. Amen. Give you just a quick testimony. I was in a truck at Breeden Dodge and I was selling. And I gave my testimony about my rock and roll party of how I gave my heart to the Lord. This old man, he was probably in his 70s, just broke down crying sitting in the truck. Just tears going down. Just falling on his shirt. Just marks on his shirt. He said, the same thing happened to me over 40 years ago. He said, I had fallen into drinking. He said, my wife and my kids had left me. They were going to another house. He said, Daniel, my whole life was a wreck. Man, just tears come down his face. He said, I was an alcoholic. He said, I didn't know what to do about it. He said, my family was gone. My whole life was a wreck. He said, I went to the shower. He said, I don't know how to explain it, but I knew I had a Savior. And he just couldn't even hardly get the words out. He said, and I said, Lord God, please forgive me. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to serve you from the depths of my heart. God, please help me. He said, Daniel, I'm going to tell you something. Something happened. He said, right then, I just hit my knees in the shower. I didn't care. I just started praising the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to see. He said, I'm going to serve you the rest I can. He said, I get out of the shower. He said, I'm completely sober. He said, mind you, I was drunk as can be sitting in that shower. He said, I was as sober as can be. I called my wife and said, honey, she said, I've got to meet you. She said, no, we're done with you. He said, I'm telling you, you got to come see me because just tell me on the phone, you won't believe it. He said, right. I got that vehicle. I drove over to my wife and told her what happened. He said, and she could tell by looking at me, something happened. He said, it was over 40 years ago. He said, I surrendered my heart to the Lord. I've served him faithful the best I could ever since. He said, my children are serving the Lord. They're going to church doing things. What are you saying, Daniel? I'm saying, you walk in that. Praise God. You walk in that. Amen. You know what? That is our job. Is you walk in the light God gave you. You walk in that blood. Because that is your reconciliation with the Lord. When he said, who is worthy to take the blood? That's what he was doing it right there. A man in a shower. He was claiming that name and saying, you know what? This is one of my children. And we got to have that same faith for ourselves whenever you're going through your trial and you're going through these times. Like, Lord, what am I going to do? I don't know how to get through this trial. What do I do? Who is worthy to get me out of this trial? He's worthy. Amen. Your father can't help you. Your pastor can't help you. Your friends can't help you. There's only one person can help you. That's Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's worthy to get you out of your trial.
That's right.
Oh, brother and sister, that makes me happy.
Amen.
There's one that's worthy, and I want to praise him.
Amen.
He's reconciled us. Amen. I got a couple more things, and I'm going to shut up, I promise. He is worthy. God will only meet man under the shed blood Cain tried to reconcile under good works. You know what? We don't ever want to find ourselves trying to reconcile under good works. If you've done something wrong, make it right.
Amen.
I never thought about it just now. We had Bible study about this the other day. I never even thought about that until just now. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
God is not looking for good works. God is looking for the blood of the Lamb. Let's go to St. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 29. Now everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many great wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. These people had the works, but they never knew the Lord. Let me say it this way. These people had works, but they had never been reconciled.
Right.
That to me, brother, that's one of the greatest mysteries of this age, is how someone could speak in tongues, do all kinds of great works, and never be reconciled with the Lord.
Right.
Brother and sister, that is our most important thing in this life, is to be reconciled. Why would you not want to be?
Amen.
Could you imagine, Brother Tony, having a squabble with Sister Lisa and say, you know what? I don't know how long you've been married. Say, let's say 40 years. So you've been married 40? How many years have you been married? Oh, wow. Almost 40. Almost. Could you imagine you guys being married for 3 years down the road and y'all got a squabble and you just keep that squabble there for the rest of those years? And here you are 39 years down the road and you still got that squabble. Now, you got the certificate that you're married, but you got the squabble. You're not reconciled. What kind of a life would that be? It'd be terrible. But you know what? I know Brother Tony told me one of y'all's deep secrets, if I get to tell him. He said, Brother Tony goes to the dump. He says, Sister Lisa loves to go with me to the dump. He said, I don't know what it is. I love to go. My wife's the same way. When I go, she likes to go with me. You know what? If that's one of those wonderful little fellowship times that you have. You know what? If you kept squabbles between you, you could never enjoy trips to the dump. Your life would feel like a dump. Right? It would be terrible. But why would you want that life? You want a life of reconciliation because she's your sweetheart. Because you know what? If you go to the dump and she's not with you, you will feel lonely at the dump. It's true. Because you know what? It's a small thing. And somebody says, that's silly. But you know what? That is one of your bonding times. That's something that's special. That's something that's beautiful. Because it's a bond. And it's something. But you know what? The devil will try to put things and cause problems. You know, man, don't let those things happen. Reconcile. Say, yeah, I love you. Well, that's the same way it is with our walk with the Lord. You know, there's so many times people with their walk with the Lord, they started out right, but somewhere down the road there was a squabble. Something. And let me tell you, God don't make mistakes. It's us that make the mistakes. It's not God that's going to come and say, you know what, I was wrong on that one. God don't make mistakes. It's where we got to say, Lord, I was wrong. I don't care how little it was. I don't know how big it was. God, I was wrong, and I want your fellowship.
Amen.
I want you. I want to be reconciled with you. I want your love. I want your friendship. If I'm going to the dump, Lord, I want you to go with me. Lord, if I'm going to work, I want you to go with me. Lord, if I'm selling a car, I want you to be with me, God. Whatever it may be, God, I don't want you out on a branch somewhere. I want you in my life. I want you in my children's life. I want you in my finances. I want you in my health. I want you in my church. I want you in everything I have. But I want you to flood everything I have with your presence, God. Whatever it is that's causing us to not have this reconciliation, Lord, I'm coming your provided way. It's your blood. It's because you are worthy, and I accept that, Lord, and I want to walk in your fellowship. And I'm telling you, it is that simple.
Amen.
You walk in that, brother and sister, and you see if God don't start coming in your little car when you're going down the road, you'll feel that little fog coming down. He wants to come. But he says, you got to come my way. Amen? Come on, I'm done. I promise. There are actions and reactions of being reconciled. And being reconciled to the Lord has an effect on a person. When two people are at odds with one another, there's an effect. You ever notice that? There's an effect. When people are at odds, you can feel it.
Right.
But then when they're reconciled, you can feel it.
Right.
Brother and sister, we don't want any odds. If we ever feel any odds coming among us, we want to reconcile.
Right.
Say, Lord, whatever this is, a comment. And Brother Brown talked about the best thing that'll bowl out of church is love. Best thing that'll bowl out the squabbles is love.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, flood us with love. Amen.
Amen.
When a man is reconciled with his maker, there's an effect. I'm going to read one last quote and I'm done. Okay, I started reading this other, but I know I'll go a long ways if I keep reading that. It's hard to fit this in a service. One service, you know. Listen to what Brother says about this. He says, the church isn't going to church just to play. The church is not going to church just to play music, sing songs. Church is a place for correction. Judgment begins at the house of God. We must reckon ourselves dead and alive to Christ. Then he made the way that we could sacrifice ourselves to his service to follow him. If we follow him, we lead the life that he led. That's wonderful. Jesus said and spoke of it. Let me give you a few quotations on it. Listen close. Don't miss it. Jesus said at that day he would separate the sheep like the sheep and the goats, and he'd say to the goats, stand on the left side, and the sheep stand on the right side. And he said to the goats, depart from me, because I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was in prison and you did not visit me. I was naked and you clothed me not. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was sick and you didn't visit me. So depart from me. And on the sheep he said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and he ministered to me. And notice, don't fail to get this, church. Keep this in your heart forever. It was so unconsciously done. The people don't do it for a line of duty. A man that gives you something or other because he ought to do it, a man that feeds you because he ought to do it, he's got a selfish idea. You should be it should be your very life, your very actions. It was so surprising to these sheep that they said, Lord, when were you hungry and we wouldn't feed you? When were you hungry and when you weren't fed you? When were you naked and we give you clothes? When were you thirsty and we give you drink? When were you sick and we ministered to you? It was so automatically out of love. Just their life lived in them. God let the church see what Calvary did for us so automatically. When you're Lord, we never knew that. Look what Jesus turned and said, insomuch as you've done it to these, you did it unto me. Unselfish life. Not the second thought, not to think about it, but you are so dead to the things of the world, so alive in Christ, so walking on the highway, that these things are just automatically a thing. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, help us to do that.
Amen.
Or we are just doing it from our hearts. We will lay our lives out for somebody. We'll give them that drink, that, so to speak. We'll give them, visit them if we need to. Not because we have to, but because of love. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand. That's where it's all going to go. I pray you guys something from the service tonight.
Amen.
Lord, help us to be a church that's got such a love. You know, Brother Branham talked about some people talk about the divine healing. He said, Brother Branham, I don't believe in the divine healing. He said, but you sure got the love of Christ. I pray that we can have that, Brother Tony.
Amen. That's right.
Let's just bow our heads and just pray and we'll give it to Brother Tony. Heavenly Father, I love you. I ask you to forgive me for being chopped up, Lord, or maybe being too long-winded, Lord. You know I never want to do that. I just pray that everybody under the sound of my voice, Lord, that they will catch the message that you're trying to give to us tonight, Lord. Lord, we want to be reconciled with you, Lord, in every day. Lord, we don't want to let a single moment go by that we are not in that pure fellowship with you, Father. We love you. I ask you to have your way in this service now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We enjoyed that.
Amen.
We need to hear part B.
Amen.
Amen. But Daniel's talking about that centurion. You know, man, he had 100 people underneath. At work, I've got 6 guys that work for me, and it's hard to keep track of all them. this man had character enough that he was concerned about that one out of the hundred. Always marvel at that, because him being a centurion, he knew what it meant to be an authority. He knew when he told people to do something underneath him, they had to do it. And he recognized that Jesus had the authority that he could just heal his servant.
Right.
So he had a display of character. I tell people, if you want to be blessed, you got to give God something he can bless.
Amen.
And what I mean by that, maybe I haven't explained that in the past, but do things according to his word so that he can bless you according to his word. Mm-hmm. If you don't do what his word says, how can he bless that, right? But we always want to give him something he can bless. The Holy Spirit is always positive. There's many times I find myself being negative. Many times I have to repent. But the Holy Spirit's always positive, and to me that means that in every situation, the Holy Spirit will always look for a way to improve, to help any situation whatsoever. And that's what I want to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the only way we can be that is to be in fellowship with him.
That's it.
You know, they say birds of a feather flock together or whatever, but you know, when you hang out with somebody, you start acting like him. You hang out with the Lord, you'll start thinking like him. You'll start talking like him.
That's
I
right.
think Brother Daniel talked about that. You'll be like God. You'll start acting that way. So that's what we want. And if you grieve the Holy Spirit, and you can, we all know that as Christians, you've been around a very long, the Holy Spirit goes and flies out on the limb, it just simply means that your fellowship with him is not working.
Right.
He's just like your spouse would be if you had a little, you know, something and y'all were. So you want to be reconciled. Mm-hmm. Reconciled back to God. And you get reconciled with him, he'll cause you to reconcile with your brothers and sisters.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, when you've heard a saying, you know, if your vertical relationship is right, your one with your brothers and sisters, your horizontal will be right too. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so he's telling about Brother Branham in the tax case. And he went and repented, went to the Lord. He went out and he went back to the tax guys and talked to them. And you know what his attorney said after that, when Brother Branham went and said, told him what he had done? His attorney said, Brother Graham, I got more confidence in you now than I ever have.
That's right.
Right?
Because
we're all flesh. Right? We're all humans. We all make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And when you see somebody do what they got to do to make it right, it will touch their hearts when people see that.
Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. So let them see the saving power and grace of God in our lives. It'll make them thirsty too. Amen. So we want to be reconciled. You know, the scripture said, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Right? It said, be angry. You can be angry. Things will make you mad, but sin not. Right? It's so easy to sin when you get angry, right? Be angry, but sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Get that thing cleaned up and over with. Right? Because when it comes evening time, that's the type of the end of your life, the type of the end of the age. You're going to go into a new day. You don't want to try and go into a new day with something hanging over you.
Right.
So let not, that's natural type spiritual, let not the sun go down on your wrath. We enjoyed that.
Amen.
I always enjoyed Brother Daniel's enthusiasm.
Amen.
I'm sure there's probably somebody else out there in the world that's enthusiastic like him, but he's the most enthusiastic person I know. Amen. And God needs that, right?
Amen.
So we just appreciate every member of the body. Let's turn to Psalm 581. Maybe this will go right along with what he's saying. I saw love. It's by His grace. It's fine.